Good morning, BK. So great to be with you this morning. It is just great to be together. And if you are in the room, we have a stage chat and an event chat. If you would please go to the stage chat, say hello, let us know that you are here. It is just wonderful to be with you virtually in the presence of God. So welcome here. And I'll ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in song, worship through song.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to any moms who are with us this morning or who are watching later on. It doesn't matter. Pastor O is asking me about the table. No, I don't need it right now. I am just feeling incredibly grateful this morning and have been thanking God for who He is and for who He's created me to be and for those with whom He allows me to be in relationship, and just thinking about His miracles, big and small, past and current, this morning. I'm going to start us off by just reading the verses of the day from this week. So we'll read through and then we will camp out in the passage that's actually today's verse of the day, which is something that I've been reading and studying through over the past couple of months, and just really grateful for God to continue to bring it before my face, and so I'll bring it before us collectively today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Amen, and praise God for that. Romans 10:13. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Proverbs 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the verse for today is verse 7, but I'm going to start in verse 4. And so those verses of the day came from the Bible app. So for those of you who don't have it, the YouVersion Bible app is an awesome resource. And they have a verse of the day. And those were the verses from this week. And I just love the opportunity to plug into God's Word every day to read and to be encouraged and to remain in the place where I'm studying and wanting to hear from Him. But our passage for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And I'm going to read it in a couple of translations. The first is the New King James. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." And in the NIV, which may be the translation that is a little bit more familiar, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." And in my womanhood, in my mothering, in my living this life, I am starting to ask moment to moment, you know, is what I'm doing, is what I'm thinking, is what I'm saying, showing this kind of love that we just read about. And I fully acknowledge that in my own strength, that kind of love is hard. That kind of love is near impossible, maybe impossible. But through Christ, he empowers us to love as he loves. And it's his love that he's describing in that passage that Paul has written to the Corinthians. And so I'm praising God this morning, thanking God for who he is and for the love that he's given and then allows us to share with those around us. And so as we sing this morning, we're going to acknowledge God for who he is. We're going to thank him for what he's done and just remark on his awesomeness and his value to us, even as we know that we are loved and valued in him. Amen.
Stand against, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop?
Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Than silver. give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son, and now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Father God, we thank you this morning for who you are. We praise you for the miracles you've done in times past that we can read about in your word. And we praise you for the miracles, big and small, that you still do this day. The miracle in a seed that can grow into a tree. The miracle in a hug. The miracle in a smile. God, we thank you for your love toward us. That is patient, that is kind, that is never failing. And we ask this day that you would teach us to love as you love, that we would not keep record of wrongs, that we would not be easily angered or provoked, that we would not be puffed up with pride, that we would not dishonor others as we endeavor to love them, but that we would love with your love that always protects, that always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Empower us by your Spirit to love as you love and to see this world changed. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we honor you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm so grateful for our time of prayer and song on today. Family, it is good to see you. If you are visiting BK for the first time, welcome. Those are now your family. And so all the family, new and returning, it's just great to see you and be in the presence of God, and to be in your presence during this time. I am grateful for all the mothers that we have, the mothers to be, the mothers who have gone on, and just wish you a happy Mother's Day and pray that God will continue to bless you and give you his favor, his divine provision, his protection, that he would give you his perfect peace. This is such an interesting time to be a mother, and I just pray God's favor and anointing upon your life. Family, we have an opportunity now to enter into our love assault, which is just an opportunity to greet each other and say a quick hi and hello. So we're going to do that until 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and I'll ask you to come back here to the main stage at 11:30 Eastern Time a.m. You can go to networking, and it's just an opportunity for us to not assault each other with destructive things, but to love on each other in a quick way. Have a quick 2-minute conversation. The system will ask whether you will give it permission to share your audio and video. Please grant it permission. Later on, you can turn off your video if you want. If you have any technical difficulties, if you are on the iPhone, try the Safari browser. If you're on any other type of device, then start with the Chrome browser. If there are issues, log off, log back in, shut down the browser completely, and open it back up and just try. All right, family, have a good time. Go greet each other in the networking section, and go ahead and have a time of love assault. And I'll see if I can jump in for a moment. So we're going to come back here at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Bless you. Amen. Let me know if you are back in the room. There is an event chat and a stage chat. If you can go to the stage chat and let me know that you are here. It is great just once again to be with you. So go ahead to the stage chat and let us know that you are back in this place. Amen. Let us know you are back in this place. Hope you had a good opportunity just to greet each one. All right, Debbie is back. Okay, so we are on the move. All right, Mom Pat is back. Okay, good. A couple of things. One, I want to congratulate all those who are completing some coursework, some programming, and you finish your coursework last week. I think Yale College classes ended this week, and you're in reading period and getting ready to enter into final. So just congratulations for getting to this point. God bless you in that. And as well, if you are graduating this year or otherwise completing a program and you are transitioning, please let me know, because BK would like to celebrate you and just praise God for what he is doing in your life. So please do let me know if that is happening. I'm going to share my screen with you, and we will move forward in what I believe God has for us today. Amen. Okay. So repeat after me. Push ahead. Push ahead. The Jewish people, the Israelites, the children of the people, of the person Israel, aka Jacob, of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are generational recipients of a divine covenant made with their patriarch Abraham. And therefore, they are the beneficiaries of a divine promise that requires a journey to fulfill that promise. The promise was made in a moment, but it is received, it is realized in a process. In the text, Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, the children of Israel, are in their journey from bondage in Egypt to freedom, but they are not yet to their promised place of rest in and with God. And similarly, today we of faith are in a journey, and we look forward to our rest in God. And Hebrews 4:9 lets us know that there remains a rest for the people of God. If you would, please open your Bibles. I'll try to place on the screen the text found in Exodus chapter 33, beginning at the first verse through the 15th verse. Exodus chapter 31, beginning at the first verse through to the 15th verse, we will find these words. And this is the children of Israel who are in mid-journey. So they have escaped Egypt, and they've gone through the Red Sea, and right now they're trying to progress forward into the promised land that God has for them. Exodus chapter 31, beginning at the first verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite." Verse 3. "Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way. For you are a stiff-necked people." Verse 4. "And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments." The ornaments were associated with idolatrous worship of the golden calf a few verses earlier. And their removal of the ornaments was a mark of genuine repentance and renewal. So back to the text, verse 5. "For the Lord has said to Moses, 'Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you.' So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb." Verse 7. "Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." And just for commentary, the pillar of cloud was God's presence. And the Lord went before the people by day in the pillar of cloud, and he led them along the way. And by night, the Lord went in a pillar of fire and led them by day and by night. So going back to the text in verse 10, "All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." Verse 12. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people.' And God said," in verse 14, "'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then Moses said to God, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For the time that we have together, I want to make a second installment on our theme, Push Ahead in God's Presence. Push ahead in God's presence. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the place you have brought us. We thank you for allowing us to be in this moment of time, in this moment of space. God, I thank you that as you are here with me, you are there with each one of us, wherever we may be. God, I thank you that you are not challenged in time and space as we are, but God, you are everywhere at the same time, all knowledgeable, all powerful. There is nothing that escapes you. Show up for your daughter in this moment. Show up for your son in this moment, dear God. Show up for those who are seeking to know you in this moment, and be for them, God, as only you can be. God, do for us all that you purpose to do, even in spite of me. God, despite me, please do all that you purpose to do in this place, and we'll be mindful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. God, we ask for your anointing. I ask for your anointing from the top of my head to the sole of my feet to preach and teach and minister your word as you have called me to. And God, I pray for the people that they might hear and receive your word and apply it where you would have them to. We thank you for all things in this place. Do what you purpose to do in this moment. We need you, God. Let us not leave here the same, but let us leave here knowing more about you, but even more looking more like you. Do all that you purpose to do. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray and we say, amen. In every life, in every journey, in every race, in every adventure, there are moments of transition. From not in it to starting, from beginning to entering the halfway point, from progressing to entering the last mile. Whatever stage you are, whether you are about to begin, whether you are entering the second half, you are at the halfway point, whether you are in the final stretch, the transition zone, the crossover moment is a critical period for your life. It does not matter what the experience is. The transition zone, the crossover moment, is a critical period because it is often here that things stop or progress. It is often here that things are lost or won, that things grow or shrink, are affirmed or denied. It is often here that things are bought or sold, canceled or renewed. I draw your attention to this critical period because it is sometimes the place where God reveals himself to us. The enemy is often active, trying to wear you down along the way, even before you get started, such that when it is time to transition, you bail out, you don't show up, or you make some critical decision that is against your best interest. It is true that momentum is a leader's best friend. A visionary's best friend, a journeyman's, a journeywoman's best friend. For momentum is the wind at your back that helps you to push forward with less effort. The more momentum grows, the less effort needed to do the same job. And conversely, a decrease in momentum necessitates an increase in effort to do that same job. So while momentum in your life may be a good thing, momentum is also something to be stewarded. Think about riding a bike. You may pedal to get started. At some point, the bike may continue without a similar need for you to pedal. However, many of us learn quickly, or maybe not quickly enough, that what is required of you is steering. You steward the momentum by steering, by channeling, by harnessing. So the transition period is one of motion, it's movement in time, if nothing else. The transition period is also the place of exchange. It is the place of renewal. The place momentum is clarified. The moment is clarified. It is here that I exchange old habits for new habits, old patterns of thought with new patterns of thought, relationships that don't serve me well with relationships important for this new leg of my journey, broken beliefs with critical confidences. I exchange what's holding me back for what will propel me forward. It's here that I renew. It's here that I renew my commitments. I renew my convictions, my strength. I restore my appetite to proceed. I renew my covenant and relationships. It is here that there is clarification of who I am, clarification of who God is, clarification of who I am in Christ, clarification of purpose and of potential, of the promises that will be fulfilled, of the nature of the journey, meaning what is this new next leg? What will it require of me? What will it require of those around me? Even who will be those against me? The transition period is a place of exchange, a place of renewal, a moment for clarification. Push ahead. Say to your neighbor, push ahead. Without question, where you are going next requires you to push to get fully into it. Hannah, when she was trying to ride her bike, I tried to teach her that if she is going from no movement to being stopped, she might have to give herself a push and then start pedaling. When she is riding and comes to a bit of an incline, I tell her that she has to keep pushing those pedals to keep going up. Coming down off the hill, entering a straightaway, the momentum coming off of a decline will carry you, but only so far. The coasting slows, and when Hannah wants to continue her progress to the end, I tell her to keep pedaling and push to the end. You are almost home. Push. Today, whatever stage you are, whether you are about to begin at the midway point and entering the second half or in the final stretch, push to keep going. Push to keep moving forward. The Israelite people know a thing or two about taking a journey, about making a transition, about pushing ahead, about moving forward. Today I want to continue with you a conversation using part of the children of Israel's life for our learning. Say to your neighbors, push ahead. Push ahead in God's presence. There are three lessons, there are three messages in the passage that we read that I believe God wants for us to know, that I believe God wants for me to share with us, that I believe God wants for me to know. I'll give you the second one today. Moses, in our text, is the leader of the Israelite people from bondage to freedom. He is the leader. Spiritual leader, tactical leader, practical leader, tangible leader. That was Moses. Moses was priest, prophet, physician's assistant to the chief physician, counselor, guide, judge, and sometimes jury. Moses in our text sat at the intersection of the people of God and God himself. The people of God. I should note that the Israelite people were the people of God. But because God chose them and called them his people, the Israelite people did not choose God. God, in fact, is trying to get the Israelite people to choose him. Out of all the false gods they could choose to worship and obey, and the glimpse that the text gives us is that the Israelite people are having difficulty choosing God back. Though God just delivered them by mass exodus and like a form of baptism from one life to a new life through the Red Sea, the Lord God Almighty brought the children of Israel a mighty long way, a great deliverance. So great that peoples today, including my people, receive present hope in times of trouble, oppression, slavery, bondage, saying, if God could deliver the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt, then surely God, who is no respecter of person, can deliver me and my people. Yet, similar to the children of Israel, I seem to quickly forget the great things God has done with me, and I revert to sinful ways and or the world's ways of living. Simply, I depart God's ways to adopt other ways, sometimes even the ways of my oppressor. The Israelite people were God's chosen people. The Israelite people did not choose God. God chose them and God called them his people. The same is true for you and for me. We did not choose God. You did not choose God. No, you didn't. I know it seems like coming to know God through Jesus Christ was your brilliant idea. But God called you, and it is by God's grace that you have responded and you are responding favorably to his call. Jesus told the people around him, as recorded in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We're talking about Moses. Moses wasn't born a leader. Moses was born in trouble. All of us who feel like we are in trouble and or are not enough, we should be encouraged by the life and story of Moses. Let's start with the life of Moses. Life begins in the womb for Moses. And before his birth, Moses was targeted for destruction by the then Pharaoh of Egypt, who said to the Hebrew midwives in Exodus chapter 1, verse 16, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stools. If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. And Moses was born in trouble, no less in critical danger. Literally, there was a death sentence on Moses' life. Exodus 1:22, Pharaoh commanded his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Moses' family, Moses' mother, and how fitting on Mother's Day, Moses' mother and sister conspired to keep the baby Moses alive. They placed Moses in the ark, a floating basket, and they put baby Moses in the river by the bank. Pharaoh's daughter came to the river, found baby Moses in the water, took him, and began the process of raising Moses as her own child. Moses' name means drawn out from the water. Even then, while Moses was in trouble, God had his eye and his hand upon Moses' life. Some of you wonder how you got here. God's favorable hand upon you got you here. There is nothing you have done to earn the place you have received. God's grace, God's unmerited favor has been upon you since before you were born. Before you were capable of right and wrong, before you had any awareness that choosing God was an option, God had already chosen you. Chat to your neighbor, say, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. Don't hate me, I'm chosen. God did it, I didn't do it. I can't help it, I'm chosen. Talk to God about it, don't talk to me about it. I'm chosen. We're talking about Moses. Moses had a vision for a better future, but Moses didn't have divine strategy. Moses, in his own intellect, tried to set right what was wrong, and his efforts backfired. Moses killed a man. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 2. Moses witnessed the oppression of his Hebrew people. And scripture says that Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And when Moses thought no one was looking, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
Moses' effort backfired so much so that Moses ran off to the desert hiding, creating a whole new life for himself, and hid for 40 years. But how many of you know that you can't hide from God? Yes, maybe you can hide from people, but not hide from God. David asked that rhetorical question in Psalm 139:7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? The Apostle Paul speaks, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable or are without repentance. God found Moses, but in reality, God helped Moses to find his real self and to reconnect to his destiny. And now, Moses was ready to go God's way, but with conditions. How many of you know about conditions? You say, I'll follow you, God, but I want fill in the blank. That was Moses. God, I'll go, but I'm not going to speak. God, I'll go, but whom shall I say sent me? And now we come to another place in scripture in our opening text where Moses has a condition. God says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 3, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you along the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And Moses replied in verse 7, it says Moses took his tent. So this is Moses taking his house because they lived in tents. Moses took his house and he moved it outside the camp, far from the camp. Moses dissociated himself from the people who were causing trouble, and the first thing he did was pick up his residence and move it outside the camp. And it says that Moses called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So when they wanted an answer from God, they went out to Moses' tent, which was outside the camp, and they inquired of Moses, asking him to inquire of God. Moses first consecrates himself. Moses sets himself apart for God. There are at least three ways to be consecrated, to be set apart for God's work. Number one, God sets you apart. If we look at 1 Samuel 16, where God is trying to choose a person to be his king, and God selects David, and he tells his prophet, he says, I have rejected Saul from being reigning over you of Israel. And then the Lord says to Samuel, arise and anoint him, meaning David, for this is the one. And then the Bible says that Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David for that day forward. And so God can anoint you and set you apart. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16, the Bible says that there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And Ananias heard from the Lord in a vision saying that there's a person named Saul of Tarsus who I want you to go and anoint. And Ananias had a problem with that. He said, God, Saul of Tarsus has been persecuting your people. And this is how God replied. He says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So one way to be set apart is that God sets you apart. The second way to be set apart is that someone responsible to God, someone accountable to God for you, decides to set you apart. In 1 Samuel 1, Samuel's mother Hannah was praying for a child, and she said in verse 11, your maidservant, don't forget me, remember me, but I will give your maidservant, if you will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And so one way for God to receive you as consecrated unto him is that God sets you apart. And another way is for someone responsible to you to set you apart. But don't worry if you think God has forgotten about you. And don't worry if you think your parents haven't set you apart for the purposes of God. Number three, you can consecrate yourself. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, whether you are a vessel of gold and silver or a vessel of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So the first thing Moses does is Moses consecrates himself. He sets himself apart. But then the second thing that Moses does is Moses clarifies what's about to go down. Exodus chapter 33 at verse 12, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Moses, if you notice and read through his life, pays close attention to language, to speech, what is said and what it might mean. Moses says, in my opinion, a little too nonchalantly to God, Moses said, God, you give me instruction, but you have not told me who you will send to accompany me. Moses puts God's words back onto him. Since I pray, I have found favor in your sight. And then Moses works to leverage his personal relationship with God to receive more favorable conditions. Verse 13, show me your way. Show me your way. Let's pause for a moment and let's talk about show and tell with God. Telling me you are good and showing me you are good are two different things. God telling Moses the way to the physical land of Egypt, giving Moses directions, and God himself showing Moses are two drastically different experiences. Show is experiential, where tell is intellectual or mental. This is why in the STEM discipline, we have the lecture and the lab. The two reinforce each other. And here's a hint for you. When you have the choice between God showing you and God telling you, go with God showing you. When God goes with you, showing you the way, then you don't have to worry about having all the answers, because the answer is with you. I am who I am is journeying with you. And this is how Jesus was able to command his disciples without back and forth from them. He was able to say to them, follow me, because they were walking with him. The problem with some Christian environments and church environments today is that we want to tell people about Christ and not show people Christ. We want people to go to God, but we don't want to make the time to take people to God. Let's be a show and tell congregation, BK. And so Moses says, that I may know you. Show me that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. There is assurance and right relationship. It is the story that gives us blessed assurance. It is the journey that gives us confidence of who God is and who we are in God. We can't see God like the people in Jesus' day saw Jesus, and we have to rely on other metrics. And it is our journey with God's presence that gives us confidence that God is with us. And then Moses says in his text, remember, this nation is your people. essentially not my people. Moses had a dynamic with the Israelite people that is so real. Moses tottered between being one of the people and being a separate individual in relationship with God. Some days Moses felt empowered and blessed, but other days Moses felt threatened, weak, frustrated, and defeated. And so this was God's response in verse 14. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." God confirms his presence for the journey and the end goal. And Moses confirms what condition Moses deems acceptable. Moses says in verse 15, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Moses, thirdly, confirms what condition that Moses deems acceptable. But why? Why does Moses have to have conditions on his relationship with God? Well, in the next verse, Moses brings up an important point. He says, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we will be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." And so the Lord spake to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Public confirmation and reassurance was something that Moses wanted and needed. Moses recognized that God is making a public statement through Moses' life and the people's life. More than once, Moses seemingly reminds God of how all this looks in the public eye. When you walk with God, when I walk with God, it's not just for our benefit. God is not just blessing me to bless me. God is not just blessing you to bless you, but God is blessing you in a way that introduces people to God, that introduces people to want to know God more. And sometimes that's why God does things publicly in your life. Not that you've been so good, not that you're so wise, that you're so talented, that you're so intelligent, that you're so great, that you've been so good. But God is shining his light upon you so that his glory rests upon you, so that when people see your good works, they glorify God in heaven and they come to know him. So in our closing time together, how do you go in God's presence? Moses said, "If you don't go with me, I'm not going. Don't lead the people up from here." Well, how do you go in God's presence? Three things. The first thing is that you make arrangements with God. Don't say that you intend for you and myself to travel together and you don't make prearrangements for us to be together. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, we read where God said to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Having help and having companionship, having both of those things together, is not weakness, it is wisdom. At times I am amazed at what we attempt to do all on our own. Jesus understood this. And Luke 24, 44 through 49, Jesus said that he was speaking to them and that he opened up their understanding, but recognized that understanding and practice are meant to go hand in hand. And in the verse, he said, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." It's one thing to have an understanding of who God is. It's another thing to have God's presence and to experience who God is. And so Moses made a prearrangement with God. Moses also makes an invitation to God. We can make an invitation to God. We can sing this song, "Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people." So what do? We lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we offer up this praise unto your name. If you read Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 33, you see that the early apostles prayed. When they came to difficulty, scripture says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Make an invitation to God to accompany you along the way. And thirdly, check in. Keep open lines of communication with God. Pray without ceasing. Pray in your test. Right now, you're going through the finals period where you're about to study. Pray during this reading period. And when you get to finals, pray in your tests. Pray in your writing. Pray in your presentation. Pray as you're working on your problem set. Pray in the interview. Pray with your graduation plans. Pray in your internship plans. Pray in your relationship plans. Pray for your work and career plans. Pray in your health and wellness plans. Jesus told us, as he told his disciples in John 14, 25 through 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And lastly, set the atmosphere with prayer, adoration, and praise. The Bible says that when Paul and Silas were in prison for their representation of who Christ is, in Acts 16:25, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. But don't stop with prayer and adoration and praise, also with meditation. And I'll close with this scripture, and I'll ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in our song. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. The Apostle Paul is talking to the believers in Philippi, and I dare to say even speaking to us, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And here's the meditation. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The first thing that I read when I said, set the atmosphere with prayer and adoration and praise. These are all the things we put out to God. And it's out of what's in our heart that we speak and these things come forward. But in this last passage where we talk about meditation, it's not about what we put out and what we speak out, but it's about what God puts in us. And it's about what we take in that allows us to pray the prayers of Scripture, that allows us to say and pray and sing words of adoration and worship. And so, family, as you seek to push ahead and be into God's presence, I encourage you to just meditate on God's word and his goodness. Allow him to fill you with things so that you just don't go in your own strength. So you just don't go in your own intellect, in your own emotion, in your own understanding, even in your own provision. But that you allow God to go with you, even as he purposes to go before you and to set the way. Right now, I ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in our closing song. We've come this far by faith. But even as we do that, I just pause and ask you to begin to think about where you want prayer. If the prayers of the saints avail much, where would you like us to meet and agree together in prayer? What praise reports do you have that you would like to lift up that we might celebrate? So even as we sing this closing song and you reach out virtual hands with one another, begin thinking about what your prayer request might be, what your praise reports might be, and go ahead and enter them into the chat. Thank you so much.
am encouraged by this message series on pushing ahead, waiting in God's presence, going in God's presence. And I'm looking forward to when we get the final installment of the series, because every time the Pastor O says push ahead, Hannah pushes my head. So just put that out there. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. Reports and your prayer requests, and Hannah continues to sing. I'm just thinking about the last couple of lines of this song, and as much as we look to the past to see how God has directed us and brought us this far by faith, that part about not turning around, I think, is not only we can't turn around and go back, but we also can't turn around with regret for the things that maybe haven't happened thus far, or we haven't done yet, or we haven't learned yet. But we can continue to move forward in faith with God, confident that He will continue to lead us and guide us as He moves us forward in Him. Amen.
Thank you, amen, family. Thank you so much for singing this song, and thank you for putting in your prayer requests and praise reports. You can keep them coming. Let's just close in prayer. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for allowing us this time together. It is only because of your goodness. It's only because of your mercies that are new every morning. And it's only because of your grace and your faithfulness that we have found ourselves to this moment, that we even have the opportunity to call on your name. So God, we enter into your throne of grace boldly, because of our relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just call upon you and ask you to be God as only you can be God. Lord, we ask for you to be chief physician. We lift up every person, every household, every country that is experiencing severe loss and challenge in physical health, mental health, spiritual health, God, emotional health. And we pray that you would be the chief physician as only you can. God, we pray that you would restore life. We praise you for bringing Charlie through the surgery, dear God. And we pray for Ozzy's father's health, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to help those who are losing loved ones or who are otherwise battling their own health, dear God. We pray for the communities, the individuals, the nations that are still suffering from this pandemic, that you would continue to heal them as only you can. We pray that you would be the chief physician as only you can. God, we thank you for the wellness that Ozzy is lifting up, running 6 miles today and enjoying the weather and the sun. We praise God for the opportunity to embrace your creation, and we thank you for the opportunity to clear our minds and to clear our spirits and just to allow us the opportunity to be still. To be still and meditate on who you are. God, I thank you so much for what Mark Henry is bringing up about finding teammates for the various things God has called him to do. God, I thank you because you have divine relationships already set up for what you have called your servant to do. Even as you said with the children of Israel, that you will go before them and that you will prepare the place for them, that you will send your angel. I thank you because you have gone before Mark Henry and you have already prepared the relationships that he needs in order to fulfill your will. God, I pray that you would work with those people and in those people, and that you would bring them together in a divine way, not in a way that we as individuals can sometimes try to manipulate things to work out, God, but in your divine way, bring them together as only you can. And I thank you for Rebecca's prayer request, for the body of Christ that is the Black Church at Yale, for the leaders, for those who will carry this ministry forward. God, we thank you that some 48 years ago, you decided to call your people to form this, and it is a light to many in this community, and we pray that we might be continue to be a light according to your will. God, bless our mothers, restore them, refresh them, rejuvenate them, replenish them. Even as Moses' mother took a risk in keeping her son and not allowing her son to die, and use her mother privilege to go against what she was instructed to do because she saw that he was a good baby, a good looking baby. God, we just pray for all the mothers to have a divine connection with you. All those who nurture others to have a divine connection with you. All those who will be mothers in the future to have a divine connection with you. That they may not just hear what culture says, and they may not just hear what the circumstances are, but that they may have a special relationship with you, guided by your Holy Spirit, with your intuition, and just through their relationship with you, be able to move your people forward and your will forward. God, we thank you. I pray that you would go forward for all of your people, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we say, amen. God bless you, family. So great being with you. I'm going to, in a few minutes, I'm going to hop into the hospitality room. If you want to come by and say hi, please do. Well, God bless you on today. May God do for you all that he purposes to do. May you have good success in all things. Bless you, family.